And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The words we consider this morning are from Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Congregation may be seated. And you see that verse on the screen this morning. Jesus speaks these words as he's calling the apostles, and he says, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." What an incredible statement from the Lord of life, from the King of Kings. The kingdom of God is at hand. Well, we live in two kingdoms, don't we? We live in the kingdom on the left, the worldly kingdom, the political kingdom, and we're blessed in light of the rest of the world to live in this kingdom of the United States of America, although I think it's shut down, right? That's the latest news, I think. And speaking of this kingdom on the left, it can get very frustrating, can it? It can be very disappointing at times, very discouraging. And I think a lot of us think, well, you know, these politicians are living in their own little world and they're not aware of even what our lives are like in everyday life out here. And can't you just figure things out instead of, you know, these power plays and fighting constantly with one another and the different parties? But, you know, I wonder how often that's where we put a lot of our hope, if we're honest with ourselves. And I don't know about you, but that's not exactly where I would want to make my foundation. Kingdoms come and go, they rise and they fall. God has predicted this, it's been revealed by the history of the world, and that's the reality of the kingdom on the left. But then there's this other kingdom, and what an incredible kingdom on the right, the kingdom that God has established, the spiritual kingdom, the church. And it's the kingdom of grace as we are blessed as Christians to be citizens of upon this earth. And it's the kingdom of glory that we look forward to when God calls us home into glory in heaven where we will dwell for eternity. And so in light of the kingdom on the left, which we can see, which we live in visually each and every day, praise God that he brings to our attention what we can't see, his kingdom of grace, the kingdom of God. For it is a hidden kingdom, and to be citizens of this kingdom is to have faith in Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. And faith, we hear in Hebrews, is defined as trusting in what we cannot see. But what an incredible kingdom as Jesus announces the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. That's pretty exciting, right? But I wonder how often, and I think about that myself, we fail to acknowledge, to recognize, to appreciate, and to trust in the blessings of this hidden kingdom. We are physical people, and we live in a physical world, and it's very easy to be caught up in the physical, the visual. You know, Herod was caught up in that, right? The Magi come, and they're inquiring about the King of the Jews, where he is born, and of course, this gets Herod all worked up. We looked at that a few weeks ago as we've been following this journey of Epiphany. And what was the problem with Herod? I mean, he was king of the Jews, visually, of this visible kingdom that he oversaw in the area of Israel. But Herod failed to see the real kingdom, the spiritual one, and it was a great threat to him. And then we hear of Jesus calling these apostles. God bless the Lord for his patience with them, right? Oh, come to think about it, God bless the Lord for his patience with us too, right? But you know, these apostles, they had these real kingdom eyes, but it was in light of a visual kingdom. It was in light of the kingdom on the left. It was in light of even who's going to be able to sit at the right and the left of Jesus when this huge new Davidic kingdom is established on earth. Boy, were they excited. And then Holy Week comes, and they see their Lord making that journey to the cross, and there was great confusion. And even after Jesus died and rose again, they were still thinking of this visible kingdom. Lord, is it now this time when you're going to establish your kingdom? But for us physical people living in a physical world, it's much easier to focus upon what we can see. But oh, what we can't see is beyond what we can even fully understand. But I want to ask you this morning, where do you put most of your focus? And I ask myself the same. Are you honed in and focused upon, and is most of your energy put into the visible kingdom on the left? Think about that in terms of your discussion, maybe at home or when you're out in public. How much time do you spend on the realm of politics? Or when you're doing research and looking at the news, how much time do you put into reading about the secular news, picking up the newspaper? Of course, that's antiquated now, right? But the internet, and looking at all the stuff that's going on in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere, we should be informed. But how much time do you put into that compared to the time that you're in the good news? That you have the Bible open and that you're studying it, researching, allowing God to speak to you, seeking to understand more about this kingdom of God that Jesus speaks of and announces to us. In your discussion, do you talk about that kingdom a lot with other people? Or when you look at the problems of the world, boy, it's easy to go there, isn't it? We don't have to look very hard to figure out the problems of the world. And it's easy to talk about those problems. But how much time do we spend in hearing about the blessings from God? And by the way, even the blessings of living in this kingdom on the left. I don't know about you, but I praise God. I think of all the places I could have been born in the world. And despite the troubles we have in the United States of America, I'm sure glad I'm here. I think you probably are too. But do we express the blessings God gives us? Is that the focus of our conversation and the majority of our conversation with other people? And when you think about that, it kind of gives you a sense of, yeah, where really is most of my energy and focus given? Is it really to the kingdom on the left, or is it to this kingdom of God that the Lord blesses us with? And you know, if we're really embracing the kingdom on the left and we're thinking that's where our security and our hope and our happiness comes from, it's going to fail you. It's going to fail you horribly because there's no earthly kingdom. There's no individual human being on this earth apart from Jesus Christ who walked on this earth that can give us true happiness, which we know as Christians as joy, that can really lead us to look out for the well-being of others. Because if we're focused on the visible kingdom, we're going to be focused on the things of this world, and our life becomes a very self-service one. It's all about me, and boy, do we live in a narcissistic world today. And there's no security in that. But the good news is Jesus comes in the flesh, the very Son of God, the Savior of the world, and he announces to the world then, as he announces to the world and to you and me individually this morning, the time is fulfilled. Isn't that good news? The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. You know, in Colossians chapter 1, love these words that God inspired Paul to write with reference to Christ. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, which is the kingdom of this world. Certainly there's darkness, there's corruption. He has released us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Paul speaking to the church, God speaking to the church, then as well as to you and me, the church now, affirming to us that we have been rescued by the one who rules over the kingdom of God. And we have been brought out of this dominion of darkness, no longer consumed and controlled by the darkness. But we have been given this new life through Jesus coming and the marvelous work of redemption that he has done. And how wonderful we can walk into this sanctuary and see that huge cross front and center. And it's God smiling upon you and me and saying, this is fulfilled. I have done this. And I want you to come today again and know the greatness of my love for you. And it's through his love, it's through his calling, that hearts are changed. Remember Nicodemus, John chapter 3, verse 5. He's a Pharisee, remember, comes out to Jesus at night, probably out of concern for his peers, didn't want them to see him. And he inquires about this kingdom with Jesus that he's preaching about. And Jesus tells him, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. And so Jesus informing Nicodemus, this isn't a kingdom that you enter by your doing, by your works, by your deeds, by whatever approach you take, but this is a gift from God. And water and the Spirit, what do you think of immediately? Baptism, right? That the Lord, and so many times in this sanctuary, at this baptismal font, water has been poured over an individual's head in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and God has done an incredible thing before our very eyes in calling that individual by name. And we have that blessing as well. I assume everyone is baptized here this morning. If you're not, please talk to me after worship. But we have been called through the waters of baptism by God into his incredible kingdom. You know, in Luke chapter 17, Jesus in dialogue with the Pharisees, and you see it on the screen, but Jesus replied to them when they were asking when this kingdom was coming, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, oh, here it is, or there it is. Because the kingdom of God is in your midst. Really sad that the Pharisees didn't see the kingdom of God in their midst, because Jesus is the kingdom of God. And the reality is wherever the king is, who is Jesus, the kingdom of God exists there. Wherever God's means of grace are provided in our current time, the kingdom of God is there in our midst, in our presence, as we rejoice. The kingdom of God is right here among you and me. And what a calling. It is a call, as Jesus said in verse 15 of our text, repent and believe. And all of this is God's working in us. We would have no desire to repent, which means to make a 180-degree turn, to turn away from our former way of life, our sinful way of life, to turn away from the darkness, to turn to the light, to be sorry for the sin that we have committed, to turn to God and with the desire to never sin again. Now we know that that's impossible for us in this sinful flesh, in our life on this earth, but the desire is within us to want to turn away from it. That's what repentance is. And to believe in the gospel the good news, to believe in what Jesus accomplished at the cross and the empty tomb. It is a whole change of life. And it's all by God's grace. It's a gift. On our resume, we only have one thing to bring to God, and that's Jesus' signature. Isn't that cool? Because everything depends on Jesus, and Jesus signs our document of faith, if you will, and our lives then become absolutely secure. You know, there's a lot of talk about the border and the walls and all of those things. Isn't it wonderful good news that God welcomes everyone? God does not desire that anyone be outside of his kingdom. The real tragedy is most people don't want in. Most people don't want in the kingdom. They want nothing to do with it. But Jesus still died for them too. And his desire is still that they would have a change of heart, as we have been blessed to have a change of heart. And so, we are kingdom people. We are primarily citizens of the kingdom of God. And what a blessing to the kingdom on the left when the church is present in the midst of that visible kingdom in which you and I live, because we can bring good news. We bring blessings as God works through you and me. And that's why Jesus called the apostles, that the gospel would spread. He didn't need us. He didn't need us. He could do it all himself, but he honors us by including us in this great work. But living in the kingdom of God, there are so many blessings. How about the blessings of joy? You know, happiness is based on circumstance. I just heard a very tragic story this past week of one of our members as neighbors to a family. Had a 2-year-old daughter, just celebrated her birthday. The birthday cake, the leftovers are still on the counter, and this little girl, Emily, died suddenly, 2 days after her second birthday. Absolute happiness, celebration, and suddenly absolute despair, hopefully not despair, but sorrow and grief. That quick. It's how quickly it can change. But not with joy, because joy isn't rooted in the circumstances of the visible world, but joy is rooted in God, his character, his promises, and the work that he has done. It is in the salvation that you and I are blessed to live in and to know so well. In Isaiah 61:10, God says through Isaiah, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. Why? For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. When we were baptized, we were clothed. And it doesn't matter what is going on in the world or in our circumstantial life day to day, this remains the same. The blessings of salvation are in our possession, and nobody can take them away from us. The only way we can lose it is to say, I don't want it anymore. But why in the world would we do that? And then there's security. So we have joy, but we have not just kind of security, but absolute 100% security. Knowing that the Lord reigns, and as we hear in Psalm 103, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Think about that. Over all of the earthly kingdoms in the history of time, they have risen and they have fallen, but who has been at the helm the entire time and continues to be at the helm is our Lord, and he is the one who reigns in our lives. Don't you love Psalm 62? I haven't read that for a long time, but we are blessed to read it responsively this morning. And look at the opening of this psalm. For God alone, my soul waits in silence, for from him comes my salvation. He only is my rock. That is so critical for us to absorb into our hearts and minds today. The kingdom on the left, the visual things of this world, is never a rock. You're walking on thin ice because it's going to break, but not the Lord. He is the solid rock. He is my salvation, my fortress, and I love it. I shall not be greatly shaken. We can approach each day, no matter what we're facing, and especially in the midst of the unknowns, we don't even know what we're going to face, but we can remain unshaken, confidently, because we have God dwelling among us, in our hearts. We are in His kingdom. In 2 Timothy 4, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into His heavenly home. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That is God speaking to us. So He has laid out the path. Remember last week we heard the good news, heaven is open. Well, not only is heaven open, but this path to heaven is secured for you and me as God's people. So we have joy, we have security, and then I love this one, we are honored. We are honored to serve God. Think about that. Could we have any greater honor than that one? Where the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who has established His kingdom forever, and He says, by the way, I want to include you in the work of the kingdom. We don't have to do that, but we do it out of joy and thanksgiving. It's like, wow, God wants to include me in this? And it's not to gain points on our resume because we got everything. It's Jesus' signature. We don't need anything else. And so we're in His favor. Everything security-wise is already done. And God says, by the way, I've got some exciting things for you to do. To the disciples, He said, I'm going to call you to be fishers of men. And elsewhere in Scripture, the Lord comes to you and me and says that we are His priests. We are a royal priesthood. We are here to serve the Almighty God, not as a burden, but with great, great honor. In Isaiah 55, we hear the rain and the snow come down from heaven. Lord's given us a visual today of this text, isn't He? The rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that which I propose and will succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Now think about that as you are out in public and you're hearing people grumbling about the government, grumbling about how it seems like everything's falling apart in their lives, and you can bring the Word of God to them, and God promises that Word is going to change hearts. It's not going to return to God empty. What an honor. And then the last one that I'd like to point out is the glory to come. Heaven. So we are in the kingdom of grace now, and yes, we deal with all the circumstantial things, and life can really beat us up, but it's not going to be that way forever. Glory is soon to come. And I've given some references in your notes in the bulletin this morning, but I wanted to hone in on these verses from Revelation 7. And look at what this glory looks like. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Won't have to deal with all the political parties anymore, but we will be in the presence of the King. And the King loves you and me and all of His people. And then in Revelation 21, again, God gives us great insight to heaven. The no mores, no more tears, no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain. for the former things have passed away. And I love this. He who was seated on the throne, and that's Jesus, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write this down, for these words are what? Trustworthy and true. God says, you can write it down. You can bank on this. God has given us, in the current times in which we live, a wonderful context to share the kingdom of God. Think of how many people could be blessed by you and me, by God ultimately working through us this week. In our conversations, oh man, what's going to happen? The government's shut down. Says, it's happened before. There's kingdoms that have risen and fallen. But let me tell you about a kingdom that is like no other. It's a beautiful entry point, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to share the gospel. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our King, who has blessed us with the gift of citizenship in his kingdom. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in our King, our Lord, our Savior, our friend, our shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen.